I'm going to get into the message here in just a little bit. I just kind of want to take off from last week, and then we'll carry over to today. Because last week we were talking about being generous, and we were talking about the fact that God wants us to be generous people and a generous church. And I shared that last week, and we talked about the fact that our church is also generous and gives to different missions. And I did promise you that this week we would look at the missions our church supports, because not a lot of people know what missions we support. So we're going to show the missions we support. We're also hoping to get those on the website so people can find them there, so you don't have to think, I have no idea. So we'll talk about that in a bit, but before I do, I want to kind of take off where we ended last week. And last week, talking about the fact that we should be generous, I mentioned to you that two things stuck out to me personally when I was doing that message. And one was from Isaiah, where he was talking about, this is the fast I've chosen, you know, to meet the needs of people. And then the part where he says, don't forget your family or your relatives. And personally, this is just me, I had to think back, when was the last time I helped a relative or family member outside of my immediate family? And I had to go quite a ways back. And so I was thinking, okay, that's something I should probably do. I should look to help meet that need. And then the second thing that really stuck out to me was the story of King David when he was providing for the temple that he wasn't allowed to build. You know, and he was not allowed to build it, but he said, that's okay if I can't build it. My son's going to build it, but I'm going to provide everything needed. And so King David, it said that, you know, they had battles and there'd be spoils from the battles. He'd always put a portion aside and it was going to be for when the temple would be built. And he kept providing and he kept providing. And finally, the day came when he was going to hand things over to his son Solomon. And he's telling everybody about this. You know, my son is going to build this temple for God. And he said, and I've provided for it. You know, gold and silver beyond number. But he said, also on top of that, I want to give some of my own treasures, he said. And so King David did that. And then they listed the treasures he gave of his own. And the treasures he gave of his own, if my memory serves me correctly, it was like 177 tons of gold or something around that number. That's a lot of gold. A ton is 2,000 pounds. 177 of those, I don't think we can even imagine what it would look like. And then there was silver and iron. And so they listed that. I remember reading that thinking, that's kind of interesting. And it was something for myself personally that I thought to think back again. When did I give something special for God's work or God's building outside of the regular tithes? And I had to go a little ways back. Because I believe in tithing. I believe that's a principle God set. It's like a guideline to go by, and then we listen to his voice for all other giving. But that tithing is a guideline. Tithing for the church you go to, because that's what keeps it running. That's what allows for pastors to be paid in power and gas and all that, right? That's where, similar to the old time, but newer. So I'm good with that, and I thought to myself, you know, I haven't given something special. So I was asking God about it, and I did feel to give something special in those two areas. So I did that last week, and I'm believing for a harvest from it. I really know God does that. This is the kind of God he is. And so I had challenged you at the end of last week, if you were here last week, and I challenged people, go ahead, go home and pray about if God would have you give something special to a relative, or if he would have you give something special to the expansion project. So at any time, if you feel like you want to give to the expansion project, you have to write expansion on your envelope, and then the finance people know it's for the renovations next door for the kids and some renovations out here as well. The door entry we're trying to get fixed because we're supposed to have an entrance and an exit, some different things like that. So if that's something you want, you just simply write expansion on your envelope when you do that. And that's all I'm saying. We're not taking a collection or anything like that. I'm just letting it be known. But anyhow, as we finished up last week with that, I realized that being generous is something we want in us all the time. Are we generous with good words? Are we generous with encouragement? Are we generous with helping one another. We're generous with building each other up. If you're generous with those things, then what happens? They come back many-fold. And so I want to encourage you on that. What you're generous with will come back. So I promised you we'd look at the missions that we support. So we're going to do that today, and there's a bunch of slides we're going to look at. And I'll promise not to bore you. Sometimes when people are reading missions, you know, you can be like, oh, okay, it's going. But I hope when you're done this, you see that our church does support a number of missions. So I want to look at the first one. It's God's Masterpiece Assembly from the Philippines. And Pastor Lito and his wife Rishi are the pastors there. They have a daughter named Ruthie. And then they have a whole team that works with them. And they are from their main church here in the Caloocan area. And I believe that's just outside of Manila. It's not in Manila, I don't think. It's just outside. And that's Pastor Lito in the left corner preaching. His wife is the one sharing behind the pulpit there on the right. And they call her Pastora. And so that is their home church, and we support these guys twice a year. If you go to the next slide, you'll see some of the things they do. So they do some street ministry. And you can see them there. They're out on the street. This was obviously during COVID. Everybody has masks on. But just lined up on the street, people listening as they had a speaker, and they share the gospel right there on the street. As well, they do outreach meetings to different villages. And this one is in Batangas. And they go out there once a week. They go to that area and they hold some services. You can see here, they're just sitting on the floor. Obviously, no chairs. But they're definitely hearing the word of God and receiving. As well, this same ministry that we support, they do jail ministry. So they go to the jails fairly regularly when they can, and they preach and pray for the people there at the jails. And it is a good ministry. And then this year also, because of the typhoons that happened over there, their church took food and water out to those areas where they were in need. So again, we were part of that, even though we weren't there, because we helped support. So that's some of the things they do. And they also were affected by this COVID and what you can and can't do. And their Christmas Eve service this year, they had a virtual Christmas Eve service. So they're really techie, probably even more techie than me. But not our team. Our team is getting it. But they know how to do all that stuff, and they were affected just like us, having to do stuff online. But they really have reached out and continued and are making a huge difference. This is... they are one of the churches that we've supported for many years. And all these ministries, I think our church was supporting most of them before I became the pastor, but I've actually had the opportunity of seeing and being with most of the missions on here. So you know, you can know that they're real missions. They're not just sending us random photos and collecting money. They really do work hard for God. And these ones, no exception. I got an opportunity to go down there actually many years ago, and my daughter and I went, and we did missions with them probably twice a day. They had us at different meetings, preaching and praying for people, and we actually went out to one of their outreach villages and prayed for people, and we were in this little old building, and it had an awning out front, and people were sitting under there, and we preached and prayed, and at the prayer time, a lady came up with her baby, and her baby, something was wrong with her baby's legs, and the baby wasn't walking and was probably about 2 years old, and she was really concerned that her baby's legs didn't move at all. So they asked for prayer, and we really prayed, and then we went home. And a week after we got home, Pastor Lito sent me a message and said they went back the following week. And this lady came up just so excited, and her baby was completely healed from the week before. So God doing miracles through their ministry. So hey, give God praise for that. I think that's amazing what God can do. So we continually support them, and they really work hard with what we give. Another mission that we support is Christ is the Answer mission from Ukraine. So the church has supported them for a number of years, and their mission is mainly tent ministry. Okay, so they have tents that they set up in different areas, and then they give them the gospel. And here's one of their tent meetings. It's a typical tent meeting. You can see there's some kids fooling around there in the middle. No, I'm just kidding. Tent meetings are always a lot of fun. But they take these tents to different cities and towns, and then they camp. They live right there with the tent, and they set up sea containers, and they turn them into little homes. And they load them up on the truck, and they haul them to where they got to go. And they stay there for months at a time. They don't just do a weekend meeting. They stay usually for a couple months, maybe even more, in a city. And they just preach. They do little outreaches. And they reach into the people, changing them. And it's really quite a great ministry. There's another tent meeting, many different backgrounds and ethnicities there. That picture you're looking at right now, the person right in the center, that is Montserrat, and his wife Ina isn't in that picture, but they're the couple that head it all up. And then they have a whole team that works with them. So they continue to meet and reach people on a regular basis there. There's a picture of a truck that they haul their stuff around in. And I think our church was partnered kind of with the funds we gave to help them with that truck. So they're able to go and take the tent around. This ministry as well, I did get opportunity many years ago to go there. In actually 2007, my wife and I and our oldest daughter at the time was only 7. Yeah, and Lorraine and Manuel, you guys were on that trip as well. And we went there and we just camped with them in their camp area. And my wife and I, we brought a 4-man tent in our luggage. So we set that 4-man tent up, and they put a tarp over it, and then they put guards to check on us and make sure that, you know, we were safe. Because they said, you know, it might not be safe. And we got to do different things, and one of the things we did, they took us out one time to the market downtown. And at the market, we were playing some guitars and stuff, and all of a sudden there was these really angry old ladies. They're farm ladies at the market, and they were really angry about the Christian gospel. And they were started swearing at us in different language. You know, we didn't know what they're saying, but our team was trying to deal with them, and they were just angry. And they even told me that sometimes they get so angry they pick up rocks, and they're like, just, you know, so here are these old ladies, and I'm thinking they're going to pick up rocks, and the next thing, you know, we're just trying to sing nice gospel songs, and these old ladies are trying to turn it into a rock concert. Okay, that's my joke for today. Now, the old ladies, they did calm them down. I think they went over and told them, these people are from Canada. You don't want them to think everyone in Ukraine is crazy. I think that's what they did to calm them down, and we got to do ministry in many different areas, churches and different places. So they are definitely doing something for God in Ukraine. And Ukraine is a lot more poor than what you'd expect. And they're definitely struggling as well with the COVID and everything that's happening now. Not like Canada. I mean, we're frustrated and things are going on, but we at least are able to eat every day. You know, in some of these places, they're starving and it's really tough. So I'm thankful and thank you to you guys again for supporting that mission. Another mission that we support is the Eurasia Missions with Stephen Herzog, and that's $3,000 annually goes to that mission. Now, Stephen Herzog comes here once in a while and shares what his mission does, so you might have seen him, you know, put everything up on the screens. Obviously, I don't have time to do all that, but he heads up the PAOC missions in Europe and Asia. So it's a big area that they cover, and the funds that we give go to all the different things they do. So I have a few things from his latest newsletter that he sent us, just what happened this year there. So here's one of them. It says, unemployment and physical hunger due to COVID produced great spiritual hunger. 1,500 people came to Christ through the community grocery outreach program in Ukraine in partnership with the Churches of Praise and Loads of Love. There's a great church, LOL Church. Loads of Love. Also, they said, the Eurasia family kept growing. There were two new couples deployed to ministry in the region. So missionary couples still going out, still reaching the lost, even in the time of COVID. And church planting. Church planting in Russia continued. My church, he names it, was able to start 6 new churches. So this year, that church planted 6 new ones. Isn't that amazing? They didn't just like, oh, it's all over, we'll just stay home and be worried. They continue having church, and you can see there, they look like they're packed in there having a good church. And also, they continued in other areas to plant churches. God was moving in Moldova. 15 new churches were planted in that country this year, making a total of 109 church plants since 2017. That is amazing. Yeah, I think you should give the Lord a hand for that. That is amazing. 109 churches in 3 years. The church is not dying over there. The church is exploding because people need the love of God. People need to know that there's hope. And so because of that, church is growing rapidly. And then I just listed a few more. They do so much because they're such a huge ministry, but I just listed a couple more for you. Steve Herzog himself couldn't travel this year, obviously, with COVID, but he did fundraise and head things up from his home in, I think it's Spruce Grove or Stony Plain, he lives in that area. Did a bike-a-thon and raised $80,000. Also, discipleship of new believers continued. The King David Bible School, a distance discipleship program for new Kurdish believers, had 34 students, all of whom were Muslim background believers. The school also translated the Gospels into 2 of the main Kurdish language, Saroni and Kurmanji, for the first time. So they're definitely pressing forward with the Gospel. Training leaders for the kingdom continued. The theological seminary opened 2 new branch campuses in the middle of a pandemic, and through their orphanage outreach, over 50 orphans gave their lives to Christ. So training of leaders continued as well in many countries. It said the ERF supported church planting and leadership training program in 6 countries this year. So that mission continues on because the people that are there continue on. And so even though leaders from here can't travel and get there, it doesn't matter. If they have a little bit of funds, they can spread it really far and touch many lives. So we're excited about that. So that is also one of the missions we support. And then bringing it a little closer to home, we support some local missions. We also support the MAT program, and we support them $1,200 annually. Now, I said I took part in a lot of these missions. I actually have never stayed at the MAT program, so I got to be honest there. I haven't been to that one, but I have seen what they do, and I think it's a good work that they're doing. It's a program run by the Slave Lake Native Friendship Center. They provide a place for the homeless to sleep at night during the winter months, and they provide them with some lunch. And, you know, I think it's important for us to support, you know, even if we don't necessarily do everything or agree with all the same ways as the Native Friendship Center, it doesn't matter. They are doing a work that's touching lives, and so we're able to support it in that way. So our church does that, and it has done for a number of years. All right. Also, we support the Slave Lake Christian School. Now, maybe not a typical mission that you would think, but we do support them twice a year with $1,200. And I just took off their website, so you can see here. It says, Slave Lake Koinonia Christian School exists to provide an educational environment that works alongside Christian homes and churches in preparing children spiritually, academically, socially, and physically for a lifetime of serving Jesus Christ. So the school does operate on some donations. They also get some government funding, but it's only a percentage. And kids that go there get a faith-based education. It's really, really good. Our kids have attended there, and right now they're homeschooling, but hopefully this COVID stuff will be done with and we'll get regular school again. And the school has a number of pictures there. They may need to update some of their pictures because I found some old ones. And this old one, I told you, I never actually went to the Christian school, but I am in that picture. You see, there's a guy there with a white hat on paddling hard, and he has a mustache. That's me. So I was on that trip. My daughter's sitting behind me. And actually, I got to go on their trip. I think it was a two-week trip to Jasper, and they did a bunch of things. They asked me to come to preach different lessons on this trip. So I got a number of different places I got to preach. I got to preach on top of a mountain after we hiked up there, some different areas. I didn't preach on the whitewater raft ride, though. I just hung on and paddled. Not really, anyways. But it was a lot of fun. The school does some great things for the kids, and really life-changing and memorable things. So we really appreciate the Christian school. All right, another local mission that we also support. The Dove. Oh, no, I went too far. Hang on, you're right. Vanguard. I'm getting ahead of myself. Vanguard is sort of local. That's Edmonton. As a PAOC church, 2% of our general offerings go to support the Vanguard Bible College. So if you didn't know that, that's something that happens all the time. And you have to be a math person to figure that out, but 2% of general offerings. And Vanguard Bible College is a great college. We, of course, love it. Our oldest daughter attends there. She's finishing up her fourth year this year. So she'll be graduating and finishing there at the college. And I just took off their website, their mission to develop and mobilize Spirit-empowered leaders to be fruitful in God's mission. Their mission imperatives: Vanguard College partners in the accomplishment of its mission with the Alberta Northwest Territories District of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. In the context of God's big story, we provide biblical higher education through theological, professional, and worldview studies. We acknowledge the diversity of service in the kingdom and seek to enable students to discern their call and develop their unique gifts and character for a prevailing church. All right, and there's a picture of some of the students going to Vanguard Bible College. And they all look too young to be in college, which means I might be getting older. But anyhow, they are definitely college students. And Vanguard is a great place. If you've got young people in your family getting in high school and you're thinking, what should they do after high school? I suggest a year at Vanguard Bible College. Even if they're not going to be a preacher, they can go there, they get some experience away from mom and dad with a Christian foundation, and it's a great starting point for wherever God takes them. So a great, great school. All right, also a local mission, we consider it a mission. It's the Dove Radio Station, 107.5. How many have heard the radio station 107.5, the Dove? Most of you? Okay. So that radio station is funded totally by donations. They don't have anybody on their station pay them. It's just by donation. And they have some local content. They also have some Cree messages, some German messages, and a lot of different music, some of it older style, but they also have some contemporary on certain days of the week. And as one young person told us at the early service, Adventures in Odyssey is on there, 7 o'clock every weekday. So Adventures in Odyssey is a good program for sure. We've always enjoyed it. 107.5 is affiliated with the CIM broadcast, which actually their base is in Edmonton, but they have local stations for the north. So I just got a couple things off their website so you know what it is they do. They say that they're bringing good news to Canada's people, one heart, family, and community at a time. CIM is radio, is a listener-supported, non-profit, non-commercial broadcast. Support and involvement from the local community sustains the CIM broadcast. We partner with communities across Canada so that people will be able to hear the good news through community FM radio. Our desire is to see lives changed, restored, and built up. CIM provides community information, relevant news coverage, song request hours, and multi-ethnic content. And they also will advertise our church stuff if we want. Okay, so you can advertise church events, special meetings. You just get a hold of Don Tiedemann and you can advertise it on there. And any church event can be advertised on there. It doesn't have to just be ours. So just know that it's a great outreach tool for the different areas. Okay, and finally, one other mission thing that we like to do here at the church is to support young people or students age 14 to 25 going on their first long-term mission. So a number of students have received that have been going through here. I just took that picture because I think the church sponsored Anita on that mission trip to the Philippines. And I didn't actually drive that motorbike, if anybody's wondering. I just sat on there for the picture. But it was a cool little machine. And I think you can only find those in the Philippines. The side-by-side, and they can drive you around. So again, we do believe missions are important. We want to be a church that's generous. And so we were able to continue supporting all the missions that we supported. We didn't cut back or cut down on any of them. We didn't believe that's what God wants us to do this year. And actually, I mentioned this, the one mission that we support, when we supported them at the beginning of this year in January, we supported them and they were overjoyed. They actually thought that we might not because of the pandemic. But I learned something a long time ago. God's economy is not bothered by the pandemic. God's hand is not short. His power is not lessened. He is not afraid. And he has not told us as his church to hide out or quit. He's told us to be the light and to shine even brighter. So again, thank you guys for being a part of that. Because obviously as a church, we can do that because you guys are being so faithful. So thank you for being faithful, even in crazy times. Well, I want to finish today by just reading a couple verses to you about mission and why we do it. You see, this happens because we believe it's God's will and God's purpose for us to give out. You see, God's church was given a mission to help others. In Matthew 28, 19 to 20, it tells us that the Great Commission was to put the gospel all over the world. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Acts 13 and verse 47 says, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I've made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. You see, the good news has to go out. That is our purpose and our role. That's why our church, our mission is that we exist to help people find and follow Jesus. That's what we're here for. If you've ever heard John Elbiston, he's an effectiveness coach who has preached here a couple times. And he said that there's a time when he feels that the church, you know, not our church specifically, but a time when the church in general forgot their purpose. And it seemed, he said, instead that they felt their purpose was more like a Sunday school picture than reality. And he said, often in churches a few years back in every Sunday school, there'd be a picture of Jesus the shepherd. And Jesus would be smiling, holding a sheep, and he was petting the sheep. And John Elbiston says, so people's mindset is that the pastor, their whole job is to pick up and pet the sheep. And he said, and the sheep, after seeing the picture for so long, they've begun to think that their whole purpose is to come to church and receive pets from the pastor. Of course, our church knows that's not the case. That's why you guys are here. But often people feel, well, I'm going there to get what I need. And the pastor better give me what I need. But that's not our role. Our role is to go far beyond our own personal needs and to reach the lost. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6 says, It says, then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Matthew 24, 14 says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So the end doesn't come until this gospel is preached in all nations to all people. Romans 10, verse 13 and 14 says this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? You see, there's so many lost people who need to hear. They need you and I to be that voice. They need to know that they're welcome here at this church to hear the good news. They need us to be the light. They need us to be generous with our words, to be generous with encouragement, to be generous with hope. There's people today that have no hope. They're giving up because of what's going on in the world, but you and I should not give up. We must press on, and we must give them hope. I'm going to end with this scripture today, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 15, and we shared it last week. Paul was talking to the Christians, and he was saying, hey, we need you that are doing well to give to help those who are not doing well, and that's what missions is. We give to parts of the world that are not doing so well. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your own heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. So God loves when we are generous people. If there's anything I can encourage you in this year of 2021, we've come through 2020. It's been a crazy year. Here we are heading into 2021. Please continue to be generous with the gospel. Continue to be generous with the truth. Continue to be generous with those around you. Don't let yourself get in that mindset or an attitude of, oh, the world is coming to an end, we need to hide out. You know, maybe the world is coming to an end, but you don't need to hide out. Never hide out. Be the light. Be generous what God has given you. And I can tell you this, you will live fulfilled. A person who lives fulfilled and joyful is a person who does not focus on themselves, but focuses on others. It's a guarantee. Find someone who's miserable, I can guarantee they're focusing on themselves every time. I've never met a miserable person who focuses on others. But someone who is miserable and angry, start to talk with them, some of the first things that we'll say is, well, what they did to me. Well, because when I, you'll just hear I and me and I, and you know why they're miserable. But let's be generous.